Shabbat Shalom. The parasha this Shabbat is entitled Tzav, meaning give the command, and it covers Leviticus chapters 6 through 8. One of the very first things mentioned in Tzav is the command that fire be kept burning continually on the altar. It was never to go out. Josephus records, and the rabbis confirm, that during the time of the Second Temple, there was a special day set apart for everybody to bring a supply of wood to the Mishkan so that the supply would never be depleted, so that the fire of the altar might be kept burning. Now, the lampstand, the menorah, the imagery of that lampstand combined with the idea that fire was to be kept continually burning really formed the basis for the traditional Ner Tamid, the eternal light that's usually kept burning over the ark in synagogues around the world. It's a reminder, not just of the ever-presence of God, but it's a reminder of the days when the temple stood, and it kind of expresses the yearning that temple be built once again. Chapter 6 includes instruction about burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sin offerings. The burnt offering, called the olah, from the word meaning to ascend, was to remain on the altar all through the night. And the fire on the altar, as we said, was never to go out. In fact, so firm was this command that the instruction about the fire never going out is repeated 3 times within this larger passage. Now, of course, by morning, that offering is going to have been reduced completely to ashes. And then those ashes were to be carried outside the camp by the priest. In chapter 7, we're instructed about the peace offerings, what are called shlamim, from, of course, shalom. These were especially significant because they were altogether voluntary. Serving the living God was meant to be so much more than mere religious formality. For example, a person might be completely at peace with God, no particular sin issue, just that they had a desire to do something more, to express their love and gratitude to Adonai for his kindness and mercy. That is where the peace offerings came in. They were offerings given purely from a heart filled with gratitude. This sets an example for going way beyond minimalist religion, playing church. Because, you know, in every generation, there have been those who did the least possible in order to get by. And in every generation, there have been those who desire to do over and above for the living God. So in that sense, the shelem, the peace offering, was a barometer of one's real appreciation and devotion to Adonai. The most significant of the peace offerings was the thanksgiving offering. Perhaps you had been delivered from an enemy or healed from a sickness, or maybe you had taken a vow during a time of dread or distress, and now you were safe and sound. Well, this was the time to fulfill that vow and bring a thanksgiving offering to the Mishkan. Another of the free will offerings was the free will offering. Perhaps for no other reason than your heart moved you just to give more thanks to the Lord. You'd come to him for his goodness, his kindness, and bring a free will offering. In fact, the rabbis regarded these thanksgiving offerings to be of the highest order, declaring that during the Messianic age, whereas all other offerings and sacrifices will have served their purposes, these alone continue on. Now, chapter 8 describes the consecration of Aaron and his sons as Kohanim, priests. Their ordination, as it were, was attended with a fair amount of pomp and ceremony. There were washings and anointings, ceremonial robes, head coverings, and the sacrifice of a bull and 2 rams. Now, some of the blood of the second ram was put on Aaron and his sons in a rather curious way. Some of it was put on the right earlobe, some of it was put on the right thumb, and some of it was put on the big toe of the right foot. Seems a little curious to us, But if you think about it, if it seems strange, I want you to think about it as a picture of the need for those who would serve God to be completely consecrated, to have attentive ears, to have obedient hands, to have cautious feet. The mind, the will, and the ways of a man must all be submitted to Adonai. This whole idea that seems so prevalent in our day and age of compartmentalizing our faith, as though what we do on Shabbat or Sunday has nothing to do with the rest of the week, how we do our work, how we relate to our neighbors. This whole idea of compartmentalization is foreign to the scriptures. The whole man must be consecrated to God. So it should be for all of us, especially we who follow Messiah Yeshua, because we are called a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, let me bring our parasha to a close by reviewing some of these aspects of the burnt offering, the olah. I want you to consider this for a minute. Think about this imagery. The offering remains on the altar all night. The fire never goes out. The offering is reduced to ashes, and the ashes are transported outside the camp. Fire purifies gold and silver. But at the same time, fire reduces pretty much everything else to ashes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, the great emissary of Messiah Yeshua, spoke of the believer's judgment to come. Whatever we do in and for Yeshua will be like gold and silver, refined and rewarded. But whatever we do from selfish or otherwise impure motives will not accrue any reward to us. It will burn up, as it were, in that judgment. We will be saved, but some of us will barely have escaped through that fire, he says. Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so on the other hand, those ashes can represent something good, an offering entirely consumed for God's purposes. Are you allowing the Holy One of Israel to fully work out his purposes in your life? Or are you holding something back? Did you get up on that altar only later to climb back down when you realized he wants all of you? The scripture is clear that standing up for Yeshua will cost you. It will cost you socially because this world stands in opposition to Messiah. It will cost you emotionally because you can no longer walk around and compare yourself with other people and feel really good about how you're doing. The standard is the Holy One of Israel. It will cost you materially. Because when it comes to our lives, and in particular our finances, we should be giving to Adonai what's right, not what's left. Those ashes speak to submission and humility. More of Jesus, less of me. It's one of my favorite worship songs by Mylon Lefevre. Our attitude should reflect that of John the Baptist, whose own prominence began quickly to diminish once Messiah Yeshua began his public ministry. In fact, at one point when two of his disciples expressed concern about John's waning popularity, the great prophet chided them, saying to the contrary, "This joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase, and I must decrease." O Lord our God, in view of your mercy, please enable us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you, which is our reasonable service of worship. Help us no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. May we, Lord, eagerly and cheerfully do your will, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let us be that olah, so that on that day when we ourselves become olim, those going up, transported outside this camp, we may appear before you without shame. Amen.